Good afternoon, good evening, everyone. I am Veronica Entwistle. Thank you for tuning in. And you've tuned in to Paradigm Shifters. Who are Paradigm Shifters? Paradigm Shifters are people who are making a difference on the planet. And in turn, that is impacting the collective. And as we evolve as a species, and I'm always talking about this in my shows, as we evolve, we want to move past just sucking in and absorbing everybody else's thoughts and feelings and really being able to, think for ourselves and authenticate, getting into our own dharma. So my last week I was talking to Dr. Wayne Topping, and he's a kinesiologist here in Bellingham and has a little institute and everything. He's about to take off to his world tour. And he also works in cahoots with Carolyn Sutherland, so I called her in. Carolyn Sutherland is a nutritional wizard, and she also teaches medical intuition. And that means that after doing over 100,000 people who are on dietary situations and so on, she's really evolved her own technique for understanding what works with people, like where are they missing this and that, where are their hormones disengaged or not in balance. And she's got all kinds of systems for testing out what it is you need. And she's going to talk about two things. One is she wrote a book called Your Body, Your Body Doesn't Lie or Your Body Knows. I don't have the name of that one. But she also has written a new book, which I'm very excited about. It said The Body Knows How to Stay Young. Her whole premise is that so many of us are living in, basically we're not in rapport. You know, I was talking in my last show about being out of whack with our dharma and having concocted all these identities that keep us away from our real selves. Well, she's talking similarly, so it's kind of parallel, working with food and so on. And in our nutrition, we eat culturally, habitually, and so on. And we have ways of feeding. For example, if you've had a bunch of abuse, you're probably going to be attracted to eating the kinds of things that numb your feelings or doing the sort of things that numb your feelings. So we don't eat to bring up our power as much as a lot of us eat culturally to suppress our differences and our needs and so on. So she's late. She's got lost. We live quite a ways out of town, and she's managed to get herself lost. So I'm going to introduce you to her when she's not yet here, based on her website. It's carolynsutherland.com. Carolyn actually met Louise Hay many years ago and helped Louise Hay nutritionally get stronger. So Louise Hay is one of her great proponents. She's somebody who really helps her out. So Carolyn's book is coming out in Hay House Publishing, and Carolyn is actually participating in one of Louise Hay's, Hay House's, it's a publishing house down in San Diego, and they have gatherings of people that feature the latest research on aging and how to defeat aging. And Louise is in her 80s and looks pretty darn good. So she's, and I think she feels really good. She had cancer and all kinds of things and has healed herself. So these are really interesting people. And she has a clinical background. Let me see now. I'm going to go through some parts of her book for you. All right. And one of the things she's talking about is every 8 seconds, someone in the U.S. is turning 50. This is a daunting thought. Well, and we know this, don't we? We're going to have just a huge proportion of our population that's going to be over 50 pretty soon. The good thing about that is we're getting some respect and some empowerment with aging. My own personal point of view is that we have to learn how to age by increasing our light and increasing our light and increasing our light, instead of trying to be younger and younger. Now, a lot of people are getting facelifts and so on, and I probably need one too. But I'm more interested in finding ways to become more and more light-filled or more and more enlightened so that I'm ready to slip out and move to the next level of my consciousness. So what happens is we're having a whole ton of people. Baby boomers are all over 50 now, and then she's saying that most of us are looking around going, we didn't want the slow decrepitation that was fashionable for older people until very recently. She also was told when she was 39 years old that she had MS. and she was treated for the early warning signals, but because she was working with a holistic doctor, her experience was she was working with a holistic doctor and totally was cleared by that kind of, totally cleared because of, let me see what she's got here. Yeah, she was totally cleared by nutrition and allergy testing has been her big thing. So she actually recovered entirely from her difficulty or from her MS, from that, and that really shot her into a whole other experience. Her mother was a nutritionist, and her dad and her uncles and so on were medical doctors. So she's had a kind of a medical and clinical history. So going through this huge transformation has been just amazing for her. And she became a clinician in this clinic where she was diagnosed. And from there, she's gone on amazing tours where she's taken on, she claims hundreds of thousands of people and helped them to refine their health, their well-being, and their lives by sorting out what they're allergic to, what their nutrition requires. And she's got a lot to say about our society. And I know a lot of us hear about this, people who have actually taken charge of their health. I have a friend named Linda who smashed her ankle. She always ate really well, fought really well, and we all just figured had her up on a pedestal. But she broke her ankle in her 50s, and they said that she had crumbling bones. And so we all went, oh my gosh, if she does, what's going to happen to me? But she worked with energy and nutrition. And by the time a year was over, they had taken the pins out of her leg, and she was, hi, Carolyn, I'm so glad to see you. You're late,
wonderful,
but you're better.
You're
I'm so glad
I
to have
it.
You here.
Thank
Carolyn's
you.
Here, and we're going to finish the other story soon, but here's my wonderful guest, Carolyn Sutherland.
Caroline Sutherland is here.
Once Canadian, now American, is that right?
Well, we still have my Canadian citizenship, but I have a U.S. green card, and so we're
me too.
Bridging
so
both
the
sides
green card ladies here.
Bridging both sides of the border. We're international. I also have a British passport because I was born actually in Scotland, so I have an EU passport, which is a lovely thing to have as well.
So do you live on haggis?
We live on wonderful food.
Good. Well, you're here to talk about food, and I was just doing I was doing a little bit of information, but I didn't want to blow your whole story. But I did tell people that your latest book is called The Body Knows How to Stay Young, and that you're about to attend an anti-aging or a How to Deal with Aging Consciously seminar in San Diego, right?
Well, we actually host the conferences.
Oh,
my company, Southern Communications, puts them on.
Oh, really?
And then we invite top speakers in the anti-aging field to come and speak and educate us all. So we've been very lucky, and we've had 4 of them now in the past 18 months.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I wouldn't mind going to one.
Well, the nearest one is San Diego, and what we're going to do after that, who knows, but that's what we've got planned for.
Well, we're going to keep track of that. Okay. So I want to know exactly what's in this book, The Body Knows How to Stay Young, and how can we turn that key?
Well, there are 4 components to healthy aging, and the first one, is to stop the body breakdown. So whatever is breaking down the body is to arrest that, and then to rebuild the body with supplements, the correct diet, you know, sleep, exercise, those sorts of things.
But you did say in this that the body often breaks down because of allergies or allergic reactions.
Oh, absolutely. It's given because as we progress in age, as hormone levels decline and body processes start to slow down, then we get all kinds of allergic reactions because we are, you know, we're so exposed to so many chemicals and so many outside influences that when we're younger, we have the capacity to repair in our bodies that it isn't there to the same degree when we age. But I think hormones are a big component, and they're the third section in the book, talking about hormone balancing and the importance of hormone balancing.
How do you balance hormones?
And then the fourth component is living your passion, which is what you're doing with your radio show and what I do with my communications and books and seminars and stuff. So to go into these 4 components, the first one, the body breakdown that people don't realize so much, is it has a lot to do with the food. The food that people are eating is, for the most part, the wrong food. people have to realize that sugars break down the cell membrane so that we really can't, you know, we don't have the capacity in the cells to be able to repair. So sugar has to be very carefully monitored, and we should make sure we're not having a lot of excess sugar and fruit and juice and that sort of thing.
And that's something that gets worse when our enzymes shift as we get older, right?
It's more related to poor sugar handling, poor handling of protein, and so not efficient cell repair, which is that protein is a big component for cell repair. So people think, oh, well, you know, I'll just have some bread or I'll have some fruit or something, and they're not consistently eating protein, and so that breaks down the body. So in the breakdown department, of course, stress is huge.
Right.
And
of course,
so,
we have a little of that periodically.
Just a bit. So that seems to actually compound for a lot of people as we progress in age, because we might be looking after elderly parents, or our children are getting older and they're having difficulties maybe financially or with their own children. And so, you know, there's a lot of stress and pressure on us as well.
We have more components in our whole life, actually.
Yes, more to add. And especially a lot of us are in our 60s and we're still working. We're entrepreneurs, and we're finding that even though it's lots of fun, there's a lot of stress to it, because there's deadlines for articles and books and things going on the Internet that we need to be monitoring, and emails and all sorts
constantly
of things.
Constantly learning.
Yes.
Constantly.
It's a big learning curve. Yeah, exactly. So while it's all fun, there's stress to that. So those are some of the things that break down the body. And then we get into the second component, which is to repair. And so that's choosing the right foods, which brings me back to your point about allergies, that there are some very common food allergies, and if people want to stay young, they should stay away from these foods. And one of them is wheat and flour-based products, anything that's made from wheat or flour, because it's so inflammatory. And also sugar and caffeine, I would say those would be the three biggest inflammatory foods and substances. I mean, admittedly, things like alcohol, you know, a lot of alcohol or smoking and that sort of thing. But I'm assuming that everyone who's on your show, which is Paradigm Shifters, they understand that. They don't want to be taking in things like that.
Yeah, they're not swilling their beer while they listen to the show. Probably.
Well, maybe some of them are, you know. Maybe they're probably the healthiest people of all.
Yeah.
But who knows?
But that has a lot to do with your biochemical makeup. So,
yes, what people can handle.
Like, you don't have allergies if you can handle it, but if you can.
That's right.
Yeah.
So we're actually in a very interesting part of the world, because you have, in this area where we are in the Pacific Northwest, there's a lot of Native American people, and their body breakdown is a lot slower than us Caucasian people. You know, the light skin, light hair, blue-eyed people. We break down way faster than the Native Americans or Polynesians or Hispanic people, that sort of thing. So they're very fortunate, African Americans, in that they have this built-in capacity to repair, and their bodies break down a lot slower.
But I thought that their difficulty in handling sugars and processed food more intense.
They would have that. They absolutely would. But their capacity is much stronger than ours.
Well, that's good to know.
Yeah, they're lucky. If they treat their bodies well, they'll do beautifully.
So you're talking about inherited capacities and intent and
genetics, through the lineage.
Yeah. So those of us who are kind of the lighter skin are a little bit more frail in some ways.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, we burn out. Yeah, a lot faster.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you recommend people check for allergies?
I love muscle testing. I think muscle testing is great, or using a pendulum. Any kind of self-testing method is really great. Another great method is also to use the pulse that you can find in your wrist or in your neck. The pulse points run up on either side of the neck, and that's the carotid arteries that go up into the head, supply the brain with the blood and oxygen to the brain. So you find that pulse point, which is actually sort of at the jawbone level, where the jaw goes along and then takes a right angle and goes up towards your ear. Just right in that little part underneath your jawbone, you'll find a pulse there. Those are the carotid pulses. And so what you do is find out what a normal resting pulse feels like. And then 20 minutes after you've had a food or a beverage or expose yourself to a chemical, test your pulse again. And if it's elevated, then that's an indication, that's a very definite indication of some kind of allergy or sensitivity.
Isn't it also true that if your heart trips, like da-da-da-da-da, all of a sudden that's usually...
A rapid heartbeat, yes, that can be part of it as well, but the pulse is actually where you want to do the real testing.
Okay-do.
So that's kind of neat, because if you get to know what your normal resting pulses, it should be anywhere from 50 to 80 beats per minute. And so if it changes and goes much faster than that, then that's an indication of some kind of an allergic reaction or response.
And it's interesting to me that a lot of the, sometimes the allergic reactions are on foods that we are inherit, you know, we inherit eating a certain way, right, genetically or culturally.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And a lot of times those are the foods that are the worst.
The ones that we eat the most frequently.
Yeah.
That's where you're going to find the sensitivity.
Yeah,
people say, oh, I have to have a bag of popcorn every night before I go to sleep. Or, oh, I have to have my toast or my muffin in the morning. So it's something that they're always having.
Mm-hmm.
Usually that's where their sensitivities are going to be, is in the things that they tend to crave or are addicted to or have most frequently.
Hmm. So you would you ever make a kind of a cultural statement like?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. People that come from the Orient do a whole lot better. Asian people do a whole lot better on rice, vegetables, and protein than they ever do on a Western diet.
Ah, but don't we do better on the rice, vegetables, and protein than the Western diet too?
That's right. You look at people that go to Thailand or they go to China for vacations, and they come back and they say, it's so weird. I didn't have any symptoms. My nose wasn't running. I lost 15 pounds. What did I do? They come back here to the West for a couple of weeks to get back into the bread and pasta, and they gain weight again.
So what do you think are the biggest allergies? Flour, sugar, and what you just said?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the big five are the wheat, the dairy, the corn, the soy, and the yeast. Those are the biggest five.
Corn, eh?
Corn is a very high allergen because it's close to sugar.
Mm-hmm.
See, it's very close to sugar, and people are reactive to sugar.
I want to say, gee, I can't stop eating it when it's fresh,
yeah.
And I'm going, that's a big
isn't
indicator,
that amazing?
Isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, you know what? And it's so good, and who wouldn't want that once in a while? And I think we have to have those things once in a while, but I think it's just useful to see what you can do and how you can protect yourself from really fast aging as best as we can.
Okay.
And just sort of what are the tools that you need to put in place so that we're not aging quite as rapidly.
So the tool, first of all, is testing for allergies.
Yeah, I would say the tools, basically the two things are what are we eating and what are we thinking. So if we can re-examine that, the way we think about, being more positive and having a better outlook about things. So that would be, a source of food, food for the brain and the mind.
Mm-hmm.
And the source of food that we actually do eat consuming. So I think basically it's vegetables, protein, and minimal carbohydrates. Just keep it very simple. And people usually do a whole lot better. Their energy comes up. Because I think to preserve our energy and have really great energy as we're aging too is very important.
What about brown rice?
Brown rice is absolutely fine as long as it's not excessive.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say something like, half a cup or 3/4 cup of brown rice a day would be fine.
Oh, okay. So it's not just considered a carbohydrate?
It is a carbohydrate, yes. Mm-hmm. But it's probably something that most people would be fine with that.
Mm-hmm.
But you brought up the point of digestive enzymes, and as we progress in age, digestive enzymes, using enzymes is very important.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty easy. You can pick them off at a health food store and get going on one or two
like
of them.
Like papaya or something?
Something a little bit stronger than papaya, a little bit more broad-based, that contains amylase, lipase, papain, bromelain, all the different enzymes that are needed to digest starches, fats, and proteins. I think that's huge. You look at somebody, let's say, for instance, a very frail, let's say, grandmother or grandfather, and you look at them and you can tell right away, or at least I can right away, what their food allergies and sensitivities are. They have such a level of breakdown that they're really not absorbing nutrition from their food.
How can you tell? You see it intuitively.
Yes, but you can actually spot it with your eyes. You see someone who's elderly and frail,
mm-hmm.
they're not absorbing nutrition.
That's mm-hmm.
just a real surefire indication that they're not absorbing nutrition. So what you would do to help them is give them digestive enzymes, so at least they would start to soak up the nutrition from the food. And they usually make tremendous strides. It's a big difference for them.
Hmm.
Because that's what happens. As we get to a certain point, we can't absorb nutrition because we don't have digestive enzyme capacity. It starts to go down when we get into our 40s. And then it gets, less and less and less digestive capacity.
I heard something that was very interesting that got me off coffee like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was that our brains could not neutralize the effect of coffee after about 60 years old.
Well, I'll tell you, one of the big reasons why people are huge motivators for getting off coffee is it changes the aura. It changes the field.
Mm.
It puts the energy of and the vibration of anger and irritation into the field. So what it does, it changes the aura, changes the field, and puts out the energy, you see, in vibration of anger and irritation. So that's what's attracted back mm-hmm. into that person's life, is that type of energy. So that's a very, very big motivator for people, because you want to have a really big, strong field mm-hmm. that's very healing, mm-hmm. like a healing aura. And so that literally destroys or changes that capacity in the aura.
Hmm.
And because the aura is the magnet, you see, so whatever a person has in their field or their aura, that's the magnet for attracting right back into their lives what's in that field.
So do you read auras when you're working with people in LA?
I see auras, yes. Yeah. But I don't go, oh, it's gold, or, oh, you know, it's silver in there. I don't know. I just look at it, and isn't that interesting? They're addicted to this, or this is the pattern that they have, or this is the thought process that they're running. All of that is very evident in the field.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. When you work the way I do.
Hmm. All right, so somebody comes, oh, there was a fourth section. It was about how we're thinking, right?
Well, the four sections are stop the body, breakdown. The second section is rebuild the body. The third one is balance hormones. And the fourth section is to live your passion. And you look at people as we get, you know, on in our life, when we turn the corner from our 40s into our 50s, I think 50 is the time when people really need to address that their number of years are finite, and what is it? What is the mark that they want to leave on the planet?
Mm-hmm.
And if they haven't started leaving that mark by the time they're 60, you know, they really want to start thinking about that.
Well, because the energy kind of gets weaker too, you know.
Well,
maybe it doesn't have to.
It's
right?
Just they might get a wonderful inspiration at the age of 63 to do something marvelous. Goodness knows what it might be. And, you know, who knows what their capacity is to how long they're going to be on the planet. I think, I mean, if I was taken off the planet tomorrow, I would have done all that I could do and then some. But I sure don't want that to happen. There's a lot of great things I want to experience. One of the neat things is that I'm married now, and my wonderful husband, Gary, is here with me. It's so wonderful to have him with me. He's just a doll.
Mm-hmm.
And we met 5 years ago, very serendipitously. But for me, at this stage in life, after being single for 18 years, I was married for 21 years, and now... to be married now after being single for 18 years is truly a wonderful blessing and a great gift.
Right.
And so, you know, who wouldn't want to have many, many happy years together now being married? So
mm-hmm.
That's exciting and something
great.
That we have a lot to share, because he has a medical background. And so we have so many things that we share, and we're together a lot giving presentations. And
oh, wonderful.
So a lot of things are building for the two of us, which is really kind of special.
And he works with your food, with your understandings of food and nutrition. And
oh, absolutely. I mean, we eat absolutely on the program, and I know it's made a huge difference for him. It was something that even as a medical professional, he had really no real knowledge of the effects of these things and how it could change the body. And he has done brilliantly with weight loss and off, you know, certain medications and all that kind of thing. So
did you meet in one of your classes?
Well, what was interesting, we talked about the field and the aura, right, and how important it is. But he came to me and took one of my classes in medical intuition, which I have every fall in the Pacific Northwest.
You're about to have one soon in October, right?
You bet. Mm-hmm. I'd love to have you come if you're not doing anything.
Yeah.
You get a huge kick out of it. But so a friend of his suggested that he take this training, so he signed up. And I remember when I met him, and this is, you know, kind of, I don't know if I should tell you the story while he's here with me in the studio or not, but...
We'll ask him. Is that all right, Gary?
Sure.
He says it's fine. But basically, when I first met him, you see, now this is a very, very deep and powerful and compelling story, and I talk about it in my book, so it's public knowledge, but when I first met him, I had a very strong feeling that he was going to die, that he was either going to be dead in 5 years or very seriously ill in 5 years. His life force was very weak at that time. And he is an oncology nurse, so he was around at that point in his career a lot of death and people dying from cancer. And but I had no idea what he was doing at that point, and like I didn't know what his profession was. I just knew this man was on a serious path to destruction. And so I stayed very quiet, which is what I do when I'm with people that, you know, and it's very rare, thankfully. I don't have this a lot, so I'm really blessed. You know, I don't pick up, you know, people that are dying every minute, thankfully. But I stayed really quiet, And he said, I said to him, well, what do you do? And he said, I'm an oncology nurse. But I picked up first about the death part. And I stayed quiet. And he said, well, all of that's going to change. He said, I'm going to go back to university, and I'm going to get another degree, and I'm going to be counseling cancer patients in the use of antidepressants. Well, I got what I call a sinking feeling. Mm. You know, when I get the sinking feeling, I know, no, this is not what this man should be doing. But, of course, you know, it's not for me to say what people should be doing. So I stayed really quiet, and I just said, well, you know what? At least it's going to be a change. You're going to have a change. You'll be back at school, and it'll be a change. So he was there for the training, which was a couple of 2.5 days of training in Seattle. And at the end of it, he, you know, came up and gave me a hug and said, you know, that he enjoyed it. And so I didn't think anything of it. You know, basically, I said, well, you know, I don't know when I'm going to see him again, but I'm hoping that maybe some of the things that I suggested and some of the things in the training might be useful for him. A month later, I met him in Portland again at a dinner for my meditation teacher who had come up from California. And there was a dinner in her honor. And I had encouraged the people in the meditation, at least in the training, to take a meditation class with her, because she's by far one of the greatest meditation teachers on the planet.
What's her name?
Her name is June Distel, and she's in Northern California, actually in Northern San Francisco Bay Area. And she's referenced on my website, CarolineSutherland.com, if people want to look her up and phone her. She's in her 80s now, so who knows how long she'll be teaching, but she has an incredibly great and very simple class that just gets people right away in touch with their purpose, what their purpose is, some very simple meditation techniques so they can get in touch with what's called their inner guides, their inner guidance, very easily. And I just think she's an extremely sound teacher of what's called the method. So she was brought to town, and Gary was attending her class, and by some serendipitous happenstance, we happened to be at the very same restaurant having dinner. And I remember at the end of the dinner, everyone was out on the street, and we were all saying goodbye to one another. And somebody turned to me and said, Caroline, you remember Gary. He was at your training. And I turned, and here was this man standing beside me, and his aura was so huge and so tall and so full of life and energy and clear, like crisp, crisp clear. I love to see people that are really good aura, like clean, like squeaky clean, crispy, crispy, crispy. And I said, my gosh, you look amazing. What have you been doing? This man was like so, like before was unbelievable. And he said, well, he said, I've been on your program for a month. And he said, I've lost 25 pounds and I'm off the medication and I feel really great and I've got great energy and I feel really good and I'm not tired anymore. And I went, holy mackerel. And I checked his aura out and it was so clear. There was nothing, no residue of anything in it at all.
So he wasn't on his way out anymore.
I'm a junkie for energy. Like I can tell it. That's how I do my work, what the energy is like. So I went, oh my God, fabulous. So I gave him a hug. And then a couple of friends had driven me to this dinner. So on the way back to the car, I said, oh my gosh, that man was positively yummy. I could wrap him up and take him home. So the whole thing was energy. I felt the energy. So of course, you know, the word went out to the universe, oh, she likes this guy. And so sure enough, a month later, my same meditation teacher had an advanced summer, you know, retreat, and I had made plans to go to the retreat, and I guess he made plans to go to the retreat. Neither one of us knew we were going to be there. A month later, we end up sitting next to each other in this meditation retreat, and the rest is history.
Isn't that great?
And it was just this man is just great love. Like, his capacity to love is very, very, very big. And I think I would admit that. I would say that I need that in my life. Like, for my career right now and what it is, and it's wonderful and it's exciting, but I am so out there in the world. I have so many, you know, things, like demands and people and connecting and all that sort of thing. To have this point of love and wonderful harmony and, like, a crucible of this loving presence in my life is very necessary for me now. So it's my reward after many years of sort of tilling the soil on my own and, you know, careening around the country at hell-bent pace. To have that now is really, really marvelous.
What an image that is.
But here's the thing. But it came by energy. See, I sensed the energy in the man that he wasn't well. The man, fortunately, had the sense, the presence of mind to jump on the bandwagon, follow the directions in the reading which I gave to him, and notice a difference for himself, changed the energy instantly. He became magnetic, and we were magnetized because of the energy. And I want to really instill that in your listeners. is to shift the energy within you by letting go what the person's addicted to, be it another person, be it a place that they insist on living in, be it, you know, the food thing, or be it the, you know, who knows, the alcohol, the sugar, like whatever the thing, like whatever the person
Absolutely.
Is powerless to stop, feels powerless to stop, those are what's called addictions. And so if that person is willing to give up those addictions and change the pattern and change the behaviors, the aura is going to shift. That mm-hmm. person will become more magnetic. They will become more clear. They will have more mental energy, mental clarity and energy, and that's what we're looking for. So it's kind of cool.
That's very cool, actually.
Mm-hmm.
On a very much more grounded level, I love this subject, but I want to go back into
the hormones. Let's go to grounding.
Yeah,
we love
hormones.
Grounding. Yeah, hormones, yeah. It's a huge, big topic, huh?
Yes, it is a huge, big topic,
mm-hmm.
especially... you know, when you get into menopause and postmenopause
yeah.
and all of that kind of stuff, and you talk hormone balancing, I'm going, well, what exactly does that mean?
Well, first of all, when we reach a certain age for men and women, we will notice changes. The
right.
first one is visual, i.e. the skin starts to sag and drop down by, you know, half an inch, three quarters of an inch kind of thing off
right.
our face. Everything is dropping down. We might notice we're a little bit more forgetful. We might go into the living room to pick up something that we remembered that we needed when we were in the bedroom. By the time we get to the living room, we forget what it is.
Right.
Go back to the bedroom again. Oh, I remember that's what it was. And go back again maybe a couple times before we get it. And just memory decline a little bit. Maybe feeling more stiffness, like joint stiffness and that kind of thing. Just differences, changes. For me, it felt like sand going down an hourglass. That was the visual that I had for how I was feeling. I felt like I was sinking down through a sieve or an hourglass and that I was powerless to stop it. And personally, how it hit me was I had been doing things with hormone balancing, kind of like what I would call a light dusting, you know, a hank of hair, a piece of bone, two sticks, and some Dawn Coy here and there, a few little drops, or, you know, what we could do holistically. But there comes a point where you actually need the hormones themselves for men and women. We'll talk about men in a minute. I'm not quite sure exactly how much time you're going to give me, but I think we're in pretty good shape for time.
We'll go up to 5-2.
Yeah, okay, good. So we're in good shape. So basically for women, as they progress in age, what happens is they'll get the hot flashes, but that's just the early signs of changes, and that would indicate estrogen fluctuations in estrogen. And usually the first hormone to really decline in women is progesterone. And that can start to decline in women when they're in their 30s. Let's say they're post two babies, they've had two children, and usually hormone levels, especially progesterone, starts to decline. So what'll happen is sleeplessness is a sign of low progesterone. Anxiety, feeling overwhelmed, crying at the drop of a hat when there's nothing to cry about, is usually a sign of low progesterone. For example, right now, Angelina Jolie has just had two babies, and you're probably going to archive this, and it's probably going to be on the web, your website for the next 100 years. But nevertheless, this is topical. And she is uncharacteristically displaying signs, very clear signs of low progesterone, and that is being emotional, crying, withdrawn from her family, lying in bed, not wanting to get up, many things like that. And
you're saying uncharacteristically.
Uncharacteristic of her. That's
yeah.
uncharacteristic of her behavior because she's usually a go-getter. Let's do this, let's do that, let's travel the world, let's put all these kids on her hips. But you got to realize she's had one baby who I think is about two by now, or maybe not even two, and she's got these new ones that have just appeared. So this is characteristically a sign of low progesterone, yet no one's hitting that. They're saying she needs counseling. They're saying she needs, you know, whatever she needs, time out, da-da-da. And this is nothing to do with any of that. This is low progesterone. In fact, in the province of British Columbia, which is slightly north of us here in Washington State, my own daughter, who's just given birth in the last 3 months, was toting around, packing around a book that the British Columbia government, from the health department of the British Columbia government, gives all new mothers about postpartum depression. And she hasn't experienced postpartum depression, thank God. But I looked through that whole book, 200 pages, not one mention, not one of hormones at all. Shocking. About forming mother's groups and talking it over with your clergyman or, you know, how are your behaviors? Are you withdrawn? Do you lock yourself in the cupboard? You know, all this kind of stuff. Like, ridiculous stuff. And actually referenced by actual medical doctors and psychologists, psychiatrists, I was absolutely stunned at how pathetic that booklet was and would not help one single solitary mother, let alone my own sweet daughter. So fortunately, she has a mother who's proactive and she can give her a few tips. But as women progress in age, so the first hormone to go is going to be progesterone. So how do we examine that? We can get some testing done by saliva or blood, but usually saliva pinpoints it a little bit more easily.
Hmm.
And there are ways to get saliva test kits, and all of them are mentioned in my book, various websites that people can go to get saliva test kits and order them. The catch is getting the analysis done.
Mm-hmm.
So the analysis that you can actually understand and one you can take to your doctor. So
is it a very expensive process?
Usually about $200.
Okay.
Yeah, sometimes less, maybe like, you know, 180 or something. It's around $200, $225 to get it done.
And what it does, it gives you a reading on what...
where your base levels are now.
Okay.
Yes. So the thing is, when you're looking at memory, memory decline has a lot to do with low estrogen.
Hmm.
So estrogen is related to memory. And in fact, when people get my book, they would be really interested in the work of a PhD neuroscientist at USC in Los Angeles, and all her work is related to memory loss and the decline of estrogen in the body. As estrogen levels decline for some women, and by the way, 68% of Alzheimer's patients are women, and they display decline.
68%.
Yeah, that's nearly 70% of all Alzheimer's patients are women.
Wow.
And guess what? Because hormone levels decline so dramatically in women, not that they don't in men, but it's testosterone that's the hormone for the men that governs brain capacity. But for women, it's estrogen in the main. So, you know, so some kind of supplementation with estrogen, if it's warranted through testing, is important. And also testosterone. Testosterone is involved in energy, in balance. Look at people when they're walking. They feel a little bit wonky on their feet.
Mm-hmm.
Balance. So that can really help with balance. And another thing is using testosterone for libido as well, because women want great libido. I mean, here we are in our 60s now, we should be having great sex, very highly creative, wonderful, pleasurable sex, but we got to look at these hormones, and if they're out of balance, there ain't no sex. And that's not great in a marriage, because we really need that.
Mm-hmm.
If, you know, one partner is interested and the other one isn't, we got to start
with problems,
tuning it up. Yeah, you bet. So that would be for women, and the form is going to be called Bioidentical, which is natural and identical to a woman's hormones, and those are plant-based, either from soy oils or from wild yam oils, the oil of the plant, not the food, the oil. And it's created in a certain way. In other words, it has to be compounded in a certain way to be able to be available to be used by the woman. And it's transdermal, usually through the skin. It can through the skin, or it can be a patch, and it can also be a cream or even a capsule.
Hmm. I've heard a lot of argument about that.
Controversy.
Oh, huge, yeah.
About bioidentical.
Especially even on my radio show, yeah, people saying that we just don't know the other side of it. We have no
Well, interestingly
track
enough,
record.
Bioidenticals have been out for the last 30 years.
Oh, really?
So they've been available for 30 years, yes.
Hmm.
And
why is it? That's always the excuse that's given, is that there's no track.
Well, that's the media for you, because mm-hmm. they lump the horse's urine, you know, the traditional HRT and Premarin and Provera in the same sort of, you know, the simple sentence as the natural and bioidentical. But bioidenticals have been used for many, many years, and there is no hard science on them. Who is going to research that? You know, you need a lot of money to research those plant-based substances. But if they match the human body's substances, they're not foreign to the human body.
Right.
They're hormones that we have, and as we progress in age, they decline. But what's very interesting is cancer statistics increase as we age, because if they didn't, we would have a lot of young people with cancer, and we don't. Cancer is a disease of aging, and it's not a disease of a young person who has their full complement of hormones. So that's where you come into this kind of issue of cancer and using hormones, which does not necessarily hold true.
Hmm.
For example, prostate cancer is the disease of an aging male from a man, you know, 50 and up. And that's when his testosterone levels decline. And we actually use a male hormone specialist who it was actually my husband's primary care physician, and his specialty was in male, what's called andropause, that's male menopause.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Gary wasn't going to him for that. He was just his physician. He was going for his routine blood work and everything. But that was his specialty.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting because he says that the use of testosterone for men is actually protective against prostate cancer. Hmm. And as testosterone levels decline in the aging male, that's when he is more prone to prostate cancer. So we have to use our thinking cap. Mm-hmm. People aren't using their thinking cap. They're just shooting off, and they're not necessarily
having...
They're getting
political instead of researchy, I suppose.
Well, I mean, just this common sense would dictate that possibly there might be something to this, and it might be worth examining, and there's lots of very good information out there to support this.
Do you have much written in here?
Yes.
Okay.
There's a whole section.
All right.
The book is divided into four sections, and section three is all about hormone balancing, natural hormone balancing. However,
for both men and women, I gather.
Both men and women, you betcha. We want our men to have their hormones balanced. See, as men progress in age, they get more paunchy, they get more sleepy, they get a little bit grumpy, a little bit moody, and you know, they're not necessarily that fun as much fun as they progress in age. I mean, where's their sex drive? Where's their da-da-da, let's go dancing kind of thing? So for men, what that is high estrogen in the body. That's where the paunch comes from. That's called estrogen dominance, too much estrogen. So more female characteristics, i.e. the breast, the heavy belly, that kind of thing. And the testosterone starts to go down.
Hmm.
So what do they need to do? They need to lower their carbohydrates, get the estrogen dominance down, go to their doctor and get a simple blood test done for what's called free testosterone. That's the amount of testosterone circulating in the blood. And if it is low, to supplement with testosterone and then to be rechecked again in 90 days.
Hmm.
Mm, yeah. So it's very exciting.
And then you stay on, they stay on the testosterone.
You are staying on. This is a staying on thing till we're 102.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
or more.
You bet. Now, interestingly enough, my neighbor is 92, and she has been on hormones, albeit she's been on pregnant horses urine hormones from horses, equine hormones. But interestingly enough, she's been doing hormone balancing for 20 years, and all of her counterparts, all of them are either dead or they're in nursing homes with no memory and completely lunched, so to speak. So it's very interesting, and there's something to be said for it. I think it's very individual. It can be done by a medical doctor, but it can be done by a naturopathic physician or family nurse practitioner here in the United States. Seek out people that are good. Keep monitoring. Keep very aware of how you're feeling and what you're doing. And also, you need to detoxify the estrogen out of the body. So that's taking something like, you know, a cruciferous vegetable supplement or something called DIM, which is the essence of the cruciferous vegetables. And cruciferous vegetables are things like cabbage and kale and Brussels sprouts and cauliflower, that
broccoli.
Cabbage family.
Mm.
Broccoli, you bet, yeah. Because they are very potent estrogen detoxifiers.
Hmm.
So if people are taking estrogen, you want to detoxify the residue out of the body. And not just that. It's the xenoestrogens that come from plastic materials and chemicals.
That's another question I'm going to ask you about.
To punch the xenoestrogens out for men and women, and then also keep the liver well detoxed.
Can you do it with just vegetables, or do you have to get a supplement?
You can definitely do vegetables, but I think you want to up it. You want to up-amp it. And so by having something that's a little stronger, that way you know you're covered for sure. But this is I would say, scary the amount of estrogen that we all carry in our systems because of the packaging and the chemicals.
Hmm.
And look at these kids with all these processed foods. You know, you send them off to school with some hideous, you know, sort of odd cheese thing that's basically probably manufactured out of, you know, plastic bags or something. And these kids
recycled material,
yeah, that will remain nameless. And they're sent off to school with this stuff. And look at these kids. They're so angry and full of rage.
Right.
That's high estrogen in the body. You look at a woman who's, say, menopausal, and has estrogen that's high in relation to progesterone that's low. She's bitchy, she's witchy, she's crabby. She'll kick the cat if the cat crosses her path. She'll yell at the postman. You know, that kind of thing is not just her personality. It's not the fact that she's having a bad day. She's in estrogen dominance, and that throws her and men, too. You look at road rage and these kids that are shooting each other. Look at all the estrogen that they're exposed to through, you know, the industries of
you know, I hadn't thought of it that way. You know, I think of the
high
broken
estrogen.
Foods. I think of the food system is terrible.
Estrogen dominance. That's what's leading to all this stuff. It's huge. And, of course, it's being stored in the body and passed in through the food chain. You know, the beef, the pork, the poultry, and, of course, the milk. Look at the milk. Look at these cows. They shoot them full of estrogen. Why do they want to do that? To fatten them up. And so this is what happens to these kids. And if you're drinking milk now, you're drinking estrogen, let's face it.
So what do you think about rice dream and soy milk?
I don't think highly of it at all.
Milk.
I don't think highly. I don't think it's very necessary at all. I mean, maybe you could put a little almond milk, you know, maybe in your decaf, you know, whatever you're having, or chai tea or something, but I think it's highly overrated. I think I'd rather have a handful of almonds. It's much better nutrition. Or a small bowl of rice, but, you know, that rice milk is loaded with rice syrup, and it's high in carbohydrate. It's packaged. It's got to go into a box. You've got to pay money for it. I think it's highly overrated. But can it be used as something, like, say, for example, a child is about the only person who should have cereal,
mm-hmm.
because children is part of their subculture to have cereal. But,
what do you mean their subculture? You mean they need it, or it's just fashionable?
You know, it's part of their culture. I mean, a child has cereal. You go to a friend's house, or you want a bowl of cereal? Sure. So I think that would be the place for some rice milk or almond milk, or a cold, cold winter day, and you're high in the, you know, Sierra Mountains or something.
You're not into granola and stuff.
Why would I be into granola? I'd have a huge belly if I had granola.
Okay.
Because that's straight carbohydrate. The carbohydrate converts to fat. You end up wearing it. So as we progress in age, we're going to have less carbs. Where granola is very satisfying and very nurturing, all it's going to do is convert to fat in the system
mm-hmm.
and give the person estrogen dominance.
And so there's a lot of aches and pains that come from allergies and inflammations and all of that left over from that for aging.
Yes, but also as hormone levels decline, that puts us into at risk for certain chronic degenerative diseases
right.
because they are protective against inflammation. Hormones actually are protective against it.
Wow, so hormones are really the thing, aren't they?
Well, they're a big part of it. There's,
mm-hmm.
there's something that people should look at, and they'll know when they're ready. They'll
mm-hmm.
say, you know what, I'm feeling wonky, and, you know, it's not my digestion, it's not this, it's not that. I have a funny feeling it's my hormones, and start to do some research. I have a great four-hormone CD set on my website called The Body Knows About Hormones. It's
okay.
4 hours of interviews with a compounding pharmacist all about the ins and outs of hormone balancing. And why it's important. And I actually interview him and draw out all the questions.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm going to check that out. We unfortunately have to draw to a close, but before we do, it's too bad. We're just getting going here.
We are.
Maybe you'll come back.
We could do another hour. We sure would love to.
Oh, good. I would like you to tell about your up-and-coming events. And the one is the intuitive preparation or intuitive training in October. And
yes.
one is the one you're doing down in...
Well, San Diego's coming up this weekend with some high-end, interesting anti-aging specialists, medical doctors, and hormone specialists, which I'm excited about.
Are they all famous people? Or
they are becoming famous. One of them is famous because he was written up in Suzanne Summers' book about hormone balancing.
Oh, wow, good.
So I happened to form a nice rapport with him, and I invited him to come and speak, and this is his third time for speaking with us. And Louise Hay is going to headline the conference. She's
looking good for her age, too, that girl.
Yes, well, we've been working on it. And
yeah, you can tell.
She's been following some of the things I've suggested, so I'm very honored about that. And she really enjoys, you know, the presentations that I give, and she learns a lot. So she is always really happy to come and be a real supporter,
good.
So that's very nice. And then so we have that, and then I'll be going over to Tampa, Florida for I Can Do It, which is one of the big Hay House conferences with a lot of the, you know, top speakers that many of your listeners have heard of. And so that's coming up on the weekend of the 4th and 5th of October. And then at the end of October, I'm doing my annual medical intuitive training where I teach people over 3 days to learn to tune into the body and see what's going on in their own body and then those of their family members and friends. And by the end of the weekend, everyone's doing it. They're picking it up, so it's very exciting.
Oh, that's great. That's really exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And that's in Bellingham.
It is in beautiful Bellingham.
Wonderful Bellingham. And so it's all on your website.
Yes, carolinesutherland.com. CarolineSutherland.com.
Great. Well, I've really enjoyed this, but I feel like, oh, I just want to pick your brains and get some more stuff going. I'm going to do some research on hormones because I've sure heard some... You know, that needs to be balanced in my mind first, doesn't it?
Yes.
And so this is Veronica Entwistle saying that was Carolyn Sutherland, who is a wealth of information, and I'm so delighted to see you here in Bellingham. And next week I will be talking with, or we'll have an interview with Aravinda, who's a, I guess we could call an ascended one. He's a spiritual teacher, and he has tracked the cellular lineage of the ascended masters. He has a lot to say about enlightenment, that you can have it too. As Carolyn says, your body knows how to stay young, and he says you know how to be enlightened. So I look forward to talking with you next week on Paradigm Shifters at 5 o'clock next Tuesday. And remember, Thursday night I'll be talking with Jackie Salvitti on ET Healing. This is Veronica Entwistle saying thank you so much for tuning in, and thank you, Carolyn, for coming. And I look forward to seeing you next week. many blessings.